Hello and welcome to the Thursday, January 7th, 2016 edition of the Sands and Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and today I'm recording from Jacksonville, Florida. Business email compromises have been a big deal last year. The FBI made a couple announcements about them warning companies. Ubiquiti was one large company that lost, I think, $30, $40 million in one incident. Now, the way the classic business email compromise works is that some executive's email is being compromised and then that email address is used to send legitimate-looking emails to an accountant to trigger wire transfers to the bad guy's account. The reason this usually works very well is because the bad guys will watch this particular executive's email for a while, so they'll be able to make an email fit in to common patterns, use common language. Now, today we got a diary from Brad about not exactly the same thing, but something similar, where essentially they skip the first step. They don't compromise the executive's email. They just blindly send these fake orders for wire transfers. Of course, these kind of emails are less likely going to work. But then again, if you send a million of them, maybe a couple of them will fall for it. And usually you're dealing with rather large amounts of money. Brad states in his diary that the one sample that he's showing here really was just a recent random example and they come in different levels of sophistication. And Russ wrote up a nice summary about offensive and defensive uses of PowerShell, in particular PowerSploit and PowerForensics. So if you're trying to learn more about PowerShell, or if you already drank the Kool-Aid and love it and try to use it more effectively, this diary has a ton of nice pointers to learn more about how to use PowerShell to automate more or less various tasks. And then just as a reminder, we do have Patch Tuesday coming up next week, but with that, probably one more important change is that Internet Explorer versions before 11 will no longer be supported, with few exceptions. The only exceptions you have here is Windows Server 2012, Windows Server 2008, and Windows Vista Service Pack 2. For these operating systems, there is no Internet Explorer 11, so you still have Internet Explorer 10 or Internet Explorer 9 available, but anybody else, Windows 7, 8, and of course Windows 10, Internet Explorer 11 and Edge are the only Microsoft-supported web browsers, and there will no longer be any patches for earlier versions of Internet Explorer. From a web developer's point of view, of course, that's kind of a good thing to sort of rein in some of the variety of different Internet Explorer versions with all of their different quirks. But for the user, of course, that means updating your systems and also making sure that internal software that you're using will be able to be used with Internet Explorer 11. And of course, Microsoft is trying very hard to get people to upgrade to Windows 10, which is, after all, a free upgrade. In particular, with Windows 7, Microsoft is warning more and more that it cannot adopt a lot of the security features that you do find in Windows 10. So it is not really a matter of patching, it's just the feature doesn't exist in Windows 7. So users really should upgrade to Windows 10 and skip Windows 8 or 8.1. And of course, we talk a lot about vulnerabilities in mobile devices, in particular iOS and Android. And just to show how difficult it is to create a secure but still functional mobile device, SentinelOne announced that it found a vulnerability in Silent Circle's Black Phone, a smartphone that's particularly designed to be secure. But in order to stay functional, of course, it does allow the user to install applications. And apparently, these applications are able to upload firmware to the modem. And with that, of course, they can compromise the phone. There is a patch available, But I don't think a lot of users use the Black Phone. Actually, if someone does use it, would like to hear how you like it and how well it actually works as a functional smartphone. And one of the fundamental issues with security is that encryption algorithms don't get better with time. And after we all got TLS implemented and hopefully SL version 3 phased out in our environments, there are first attacks emerging against TLS 1.1, 1.2, and 1.3. This latest paper here describes a transcript collision attack, which, as the paper points out, isn't quite practical yet, but certainly does outline a methodology how these particular handshake algorithms can be subverted and how man-in-the-middle attacks may be possible in the future. I hope when you went through the SSL phase-out exercise, you kept good notes, and in a year or two, you may have to repeat it with whatever will come next. Well, that's it for today. I also announced some changes in how automatic scripts will be able to retrieve data from our website, and there's a brief diary about this. If you are using any homemade scripts, take a quick look. Important part is that in the future, I may rate limit unauthenticated scripts more than I do now. Also, if you add an email address or anything like this to the user agent, it may help me contact any individuals that are affected by this kind of rate limiting. Thanks and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.